Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. There comes a time in a business owner's life where they might think about retiring, and part of that retirement might, in fact, include selling their business, perhaps the biggest asset they've accumulated over time.
Yeah, that's been their savings vehicle for the future, and they need to sell this business. There's a lot of questions that come up when you want to sell a business. One of them is, how do you do it? Second one is, what's the value of it? And so forth.
Yep.
Like, there's a lot to think about. And so we need to bring some experts to talk about this. We've got Elizabeth McRae, President and Certified Exit Planning Advisor with Commercial Ventures. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thanks, gentlemen. Happy to be here.
So, Elizabeth, we've got to dig in real fast on this. For all of those people that are listening right now, if they've owned a business, what they've spent is the majority of their life building that business. And I'm not sure that a lot of thought gets given as you're building that business to what that exit or you know, how you sell that asset at the end of the day. So for somebody that's at that stage and they're starting to think about this now, how do you prepare your business for sale?
We really recommend starting with preparing for the due diligence period, which is once you've accepted an offer on your company, and the buyer really starts to dig into the operations, the logistics. They're trying to validate everything that you presented to them in your company. They're trying to verify it. Preparing for that stage is one of the most critical pieces before engaging with conversations with buyers.
Now, are there things that somebody should be doing? Again, when somebody's operating a business, say a small family-owned business, they might be doing things from an accounting perspective that doesn't necessarily maximize the value of that business when they're going to sell it. So are there things that people should be thinking about in advance of, or maybe you're saying in the due diligence, how you make those adjustments? What are some of the common things people need to be thinking about here?
Absolutely. So one of the most common things, and we look at all the value drivers, and there are a suite of value drivers aside from the financials that a buyer really looks at. One of the most common pitfalls that we see is owner reliance. Mm-hmm. So many businesses are owner managed, and a buyer's concerned about that. They're concerned that when you remove the owner, what is going to be left and remaining in that business? What about the intangible value? Is the intangible value of that business transferable from the existing owner to the new owner? And that plays into the risk factor and therefore plays into how much a buyer is willing to pay, because they're looking at it from a perspective of risk and investment, as well as for a number of other reasons related specifically to that buyer, because every buyer looks at a business uniquely and they look at it from their own lens.
Is that why, Elizabeth, where, and I'm talking more about the small businesses where they ask for the owner to stay on board for a certain period of time for transition? I've talked to many business owners about this, and they're like, I just want the other owner to stay on so that the transition's easier. Mm-hmm. Is that a signal that there's an owner reliance on that business?
Very much so. Very much so. You know, it's in your best interest to be able to present to a new buyer that the company can run without you, because it reduces risk. And if they are perceiving an element of risk, they are absolutely going to ask the retiring owner to stay on for a period of time. And it can look a lot of different ways, whether it's an employment contract or it's a consulting agreement. You know, that involvement is really related to how they operate the business currently, but it's a huge factor.
So selling a business is a little bit more complicated, Faisal, obviously, than, you know, say selling a house, right? You can wake up in the morning, you could say, I'm going to sell my house. You could pretty quickly execute on making that, you know, at least making the offer, getting the house on the market. With a business, Elizabeth, it's not so much. There's some prep work that needs to be done. So it's not like you wake up today and say, I'm selling my business today. So what should somebody prepare them? Well, you know, set some expectations for a business owner as they're preparing their business for sale. What is that going to, what's that going to look like, and how much time is that going to take?
Time is a really good question. You know, some recommendations that we can make would be, you know, having contracts in place, making sure those contracts are transferable. Mm-hmm. Any business that has an element of subscription, membership, recurring revenue will often get a higher value. The quality of the financial reporting, how much information can be pulled And in what way can it be formatted? Because a buyer wants to know customer concentration. They want to know trends. They want to see, you know, future projections. It's one of the things that the lenders are really leaning toward, too. They want to see projections. What's the future of this company? And it can really depend on who the acquirer is that, that can, you know, what skill sets do they bring to the table to be able to carry this company forward into the future kind of thing as well. That go into the factors.
So, Elizabeth, when a buyer is looking at a business and they're looking at the financials, in their mind, they're thinking of, I'll call it a valuation that they're prepared to pay for, some sort of multiple of either of revenue or of net earnings, and they can think that they can either do a bit of better job so they can make a better return on that investment. Unfortunately, most sellers of businesses think their business is worth way more than what the financials may show. What kind of rule of thumb approach should the seller be prepared for when it comes to selling? And I'll give you an example. I was given an offer to purchase a business. The profit, Dave, check this out. Profit, $60,000. The guy wanted $600,000 for the business. $60,000 annual income. He wanted me to pay 10 times net earnings. I wouldn't make a dime for 10 years unless I grow at a faster rate. Mm-hmm. So my skill set better be more than what the intrinsic value of the company is. Right. I had a concern. Like I said, you're out to lunch. So we have business owners who are just literally asking for astronomical numbers because they think their business is worth more. What's that rule of thumb that both buyers and sellers need to be aware of when they're ready to make an offer?
Very good question. And I have to be careful about answering this because sometimes it really depends on the size of the company. Mm-hmm. It depends how owner-operated, how owner-reliant it is. And industry can play a big factor as well. Three times multiple is probably the average for small businesses, and I say that delicately. Industry-wise, you know, if they're involved in tech, they can get much higher multiples at times. But the biggest critical factor that we're seeing is vendor financing, meaning the actual seller becomes one of the lenders. So it's almost like a tiered approach where the buyer comes in with a portion of capital, the financial institutions are putting in a portion, and the seller is vendor financing a portion, meaning the buyer pays them directly over a period of time within a specific criteria or established agreement that they've come to a mutual point about. Now, that piece is something that business owners are not always prepared to receive an offer with a vendor financing component, and it's becoming much, much more common. So it's definitely something that we recommend them looking into and being aware of before they start this process.
We've got just maybe a minute or two left, Elizabeth, and I'd like, so if somebody's interested in selling the business, but nobody's approached them, so this is their initiative, how do you find a buyer?
Great question. There's four categories of buyers, essentially. There's individual buyers who are looking for lifestyle. There are entrepreneurship through acquisition. There's strategic buyers, existing companies looking to grow through acquisition, and it could be, you know, horizontally or vertically in another from another industry, and it's your complementary. It could be they're expanding through geography. There's financial buyers, private equity companies, and then the most newest category is social buyers. You know, cooperatives, nonprofits, municipalities buying companies. So there are options out there. There's lots of people buying companies right now. It's just a matter of understanding where you fit in that scope of buyers.
And if people want to chat with you about selling their business, how do they get in touch with you?
Commercial Ventures website is the best place to reach me, as well as LinkedIn, Elizabeth McCray, MAC, on LinkedIn. Always happy to chat with business owners, and we also teach exit planning courses.
Very good. Elizabeth, thank you very much for your time today.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Take care. Been joined by Elizabeth McCray, who's the president and certified exit planning advisor at Commercial Ventures. You know, regardless of where the money comes from, whether it's selling a business, it's leaving just good savings, whatever the case may be. The fact is, whatever that those assets are, the reconstruction of those assets when you move into retirement, it has to support a lifestyle. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll have that on our webinar on Tuesday, February 23rd, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Are you worried about outliving your money and blowing up your retirement? Stick around after the break. We'll help you understand how to protect yourself. Here on 770 CHQR in More Than Money.
See, I like that. You've been practicing. No.